This is the Briznet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening. Welcome to the Briznet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman, along with James Scully. It's your hour, HRRN Nation, to call in and talk about whatever you want. In the world of thoroughbred racing, the number to get in is 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. James, first of all, welcome back to the show. And back on the winning beam, as it were, with a big effort from Hoist the Gold in the Cigar Mile.
Thanks. Thanks, Bobby. It's always a pleasure to be back. Yeah, Hoist the Gold ran big in the Cigar Mile. They got it up there, you know, obviously on the best part of the track. It was real speed favoring, and perhaps it was a little bit surprising speed, but had a pair of Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks qualifiers, a really good race in the Remsen, or at least two horses in that race that might be Kentucky Derby contenders next spring. And this is the time of year, you know, it slows down a little bit, but Oaklawn Park opens this weekend. We got a Los Alamitos, so still some racing as we come close to the holiday season.
All right, so since you cashed a bet on a horse that took advantage of a speed favoring track, does that mean you are not willing to accept the winnings?
No, I played Hoist the Gold. You know, I really liked him. it was a situation where you had to be able to draw a line through his efforts in California. I think the horse is getting better. He's a four-year-old, and, you know, I think he's really peaking right now. It's an interesting situation because he'll probably be running next year and running some big races. But, you know, he doesn't like California, and the Breeders' Cup is at Del Mar next fall.
Yeah, the Breeders' Cup's at Del Mar the next 2 years, in fact. But, long way between now and then. But Hoist the Gold certainly looked good in the Cigar Mile. And as you mentioned, there were other great races this past weekend at Aqueduct. I think it was only because Hoist the Gold was so impressive in the Cigar Mile that it may have taken some of the talk away from what was a very intriguing and eventful running of the Remsen Stakes. The Remsen is a race, it's for two-year-olds. It's the longer distance of a mile and an eighth, and it's not always the greatest level of runner because, you know, sometimes you're missing some of the Breeders' Cup participants. A lot of the horses that are going to end up being really, really top three-year-olds maybe aren't really ready to go a mile and an eighth yet. We've had some really good runnings over the years, but for the most part, it's kind of a hit-and-miss race. We saw a very interesting race where Mage's brother, Dornick, took the lead, was pressured most of the way around the track. Sierra Leone, who was a very highly thought-of Chad Brown runner, was absolutely last with no speed at all early on, somehow was able to make his way through the field and around the field and not only get the lead, but look like he was well on his way to win going away. And then all of a sudden, either he pulled himself up or just started lugging in. But whatever it was, Jose Ortiz, all he could do aboard Sierra Leone was basically stop him from interfering with Dornock, really, inside the final furlong. And Dornock came back and retook the lead and won. I asked this of Bob Nastanovich in the previous show. I'd love your opinion. Is the Remsen of this year more about the gameness of Dornick or the greenness of Sierra Leone?
I think it's about the greenness, and I think both colts were extremely green. I mean, listen, I mean, Dornick's not going to get away with those tactics next year and be successful, but listen, I mean, he's coming off of a maiden win at Keeneland. And so was Sierra Leone. So that's their first, you know, well, it was the second stakes experience for Dornick, but still they're still learning to me. Dornick did not change leads at the top of the stretch. He ran a really incredible race. I mean, absolutely. He's a talent. I think that, you know, a lot of you referenced it. A lot of years, Remsen doesn't have any impact on the Triple Crown, but some years it does. 2 years ago, we had Mo Donegal beat Sandin by a nose, and both those horses were major players in the Triple Crown the following spring. And I think Dornick and Sierra Leone are Kentucky Derby contenders. But Sierra Leone, when he broke his maiden, he overcame a troubled trip. He tried to go outside. He had to cut back inside. He wins, but he was sort of pulling himself up on the lead as soon as he struck the front and barely won that day. And then Dornick, to me, he didn't switch leads at the top of the stretch. He drifted in and made contact with the rail. And when he did that, he lost his momentum. And Sierra Leone was rolling, and he was like a length in front of him. The track announcer, Chris Griffin, was like, Sierra Leone's going to run an absolutely huge race. And all of a sudden, he stopped on the front end. So to me, both colts are talented. They're promising prospects, but they'll never get away with those tactics. They got to continue to move forward from a maturity standpoint. So, you know, that's a race to me that I came away with a little bit of mixed feelings. I realize both Dornick and Sierra Leone are talented individuals, but right now they're extremely immature in my mind.
Yeah, by the way, not Chris Griffin's best call. He usually does a good job there at Aqueduct. I think he mentioned at least twice in the race the giant strides of Sierra Leone. And then when it looked like he wasn't going to win the race, he had to get in this like predetermined something about the magic with Dornick winning, you know, in reference to good magic, I assume, and Mage being his brother. I'm not a big fan of predetermined race calls. And, you know, you can get thrown off when the finishes are, you know, a little bit interesting.
I did think, though, when he said that, and I agree with you. I mean, listen, we've heard those calls for sure. I think, you know, even like great announcers, like, you know, I'm a big fan of Tom Durkin, but I thought he might like be doing that a little bit. And we've seen it over the years. But to me, when he struck the front and got about a length in front of Dornick, he was going to win by 3 or 4 lengths. I mean, you're not going to see a horse stop like that. And like I said, he did that a little bit in his debut. But the fact is, I mean, both colts are probably going to have 2 starts next year before the Derby. Both colts could like move forward, I think, significantly, but they're going to need to. And to me, it's a little bit interesting because Danny Gargan for Dornick mentioned the Withers as a possibility. And the fact is, you know, if he has 2 races, you know, he's never going to go to Tampa Bay because he sent W&L there last year and it didn't work out well. So if he's looking at he mentioned the Withers, and that Withers is at 1 1/8. He could theoretically run him at 1 1/8 and then come back in 1 1/8 race like the Florida Derby or the Bluegrass or whatever, or the Wood Memorial even. And the Fountain of Youth to me isn't necessarily a great target because you're looking at fierceness in that race at 1 1/16. And it may make sense for a horse like Dornick to go to the Withers in February at Aqueduct.
All right, let's go out to the phones for the first time. Tom in St. Louis, you've got Bobby and James on the BrisNet.com call-in show.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, Tom.
Good.
Hey, I agree. This was – I always preach about why these trainers don't run horses, and I think in December of a 2-year-old year, it was great to see these horses run this. And I don't know which horse, instead of betting on who should win, you should have bet which one was more immature. I mean, the reaction that Dornick had when he hit the rail was kind of like a cattle getting hit by a cattle prod. I just stopped and looked around. But I agree with you, the way that Sierra Leone was running, I just thought this race was over. He was going to come by, and I don't even know what to say. I just stopped and looked around. But very interesting, the fact that Dornick, if you're talking that schedule, could have 3 races at 9 furlongs before he comes to Louisville. And that's something I don't remember seeing in a long time of a Derby horse.
Yeah, certainly interesting there. And listen, it's a Remsen that we're talking about, and that we can't say that most years, Tom. As James mentioned, the Mo Donegal Sandin year a couple of years ago, they both ended up being very, very nice 3-year-olds. And Sandin, certainly a nice older horse as well. But we're talking about this year's Remsen, which is something that doesn't happen – in many years. And listen, there are other horses that ran behind those two that are interesting as well. But I think a lot of interest in what happens with Dornick and Sierra Leone going forward.
Right. The reason I called, guys, real quick, I just was adding on to your conversation, which I sometimes like being patient and adding to the conversation or trying to. You know, I know they made the announcement about the Belmont moving to Saratoga. Was there any announcement of whether they're going to have the quality of card on Belmont Day like they have had previously in Belmont with all of those great races being all run on that same day as well? Or is that something they're going to stagger in through that entire festival of racing? Or have they made any announcement and I just missed it?
Well, first of all, appreciate the call, Tom. They did make some sort of an announcement. In the 4 days, they are going to have 23 stakes with purses of $9.7 million. So I don't think that the actual Belmont Stakes day will change. I think they have added other stakes or created other stakes for this 4-day festival. Does that sound right? Did I get that right, James?
Yes, that's correct. And yeah, I mean, they're going to run all those big races for sure. The Met Mile, the Ogden Phibbs, the Acorn, all those races are going to take place on Saturday. And they'll have a bunch of big stakes like leading up to it, like they always do. So yeah, they're pretty much going to bring over the schedule races like the True North, like Belmont Gold Cup and others, as well as those two-year-old stakes, the Tremont Astoria. So I believe that's the idea. Obviously, you're going to fill 30 stakes. You got to bring all the stakes that they had last year on Belmont Stakes and add a couple more like you referenced.
I want the Thursday leading up to Belmont Stakes Day to be a day of stakes from New York past. Stakes that we remember from, you know, either our childhood or within the last 20 years or whatever that don't exist. Maybe like the Marlboro Cup. Bring that
back. That was
back.
The first one I thought of.
Or,
for sure.
Or how about the display handicap? Wasn't that like a mile and 5/8 or something like that? Or something like the I think they renamed it the A Phenomenon as something else, the Pomonok or something, you know, just anything like that. Come on, I want stakes of our youth. Like a revamped one-day thing. And that's funny that you thought – were you thinking of Java Gold running in the Marlboro Cup?
Well, actually, I mean, they created that race, I believe, in 1973, and, like, Secretariat ran, like, a mile and an eighth and, like, 145 had changed. So I was really thinking about him and how that was a race that was created in the 70s. It was sponsored by a cigarette company and – and, you know, I mean, it's, you know,
well,
cigarette
listen,
companies
we've,
were sponsoring
we've,
everything at the time.
We've evolved. Now, maybe it wouldn't work in New York because I don't know what the rules are. Now, maybe a weed company could sponsor a race. I mean, obviously, if they were running California, they could, right? Because it's legal everywhere out there. I don't know if New York, if they're allowed, if they have dispensaries.
Yeah, I think it's illegal now there. I think they have dispensaries in New York.
Oh, they do? Okay, see,
yeah.
Now I don't know. You could have, like, the Med Men Mile. Something like that, or whatever the major weed distributors are out there. All right.
Yeah, but you're right, though. I mean, if you look at the whole schedule of races that have seemingly gone away over the years, I got one for you. They could run the John Morris Handicap. How about that one?
Right. Wasn't his initial somewhere in there, too?
Oh, yeah. I think it was like the John A or John W. You're
absolutely
correct.
I'm fairly certain. I'm fairly certain.
That became
the
personal ensign, though. I do remember that.
What? Wait. Say that again?
I think that became the personal ensign at Saratoga.
Okay. All right.
Is that right? Or I'm not positive.
Maybe right. I mean, I remember just recently we were talking about the Gopher Wand last weekend, which used to be known as the Masquette when Gopher Wand actually won the race. So we wouldn't bring back the Masquette because it's still around. It's just been renamed. But I'm sure our listeners know of other ones. They could think of ones, especially New York races, stakes that do not exist anymore. Feel free to call in if you'd like and refresh our memories on that. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. We're going to take a break, come back with more. BristNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Briznet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Briznet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Briznet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Briznet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Briznet.com/APR. The Briznet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Briznet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Briznet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free past performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park with live thoroughbred action Friday through Sunday and simulcasting 7 days a week. Join us on track for weekend stakes races, dine trackside in 10 ponds with an elevated view of the track, and grab a cool cocktail in the Carousel Club. For reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today. This is the Briznet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Briznet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, James Scully with you every Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Your hour to call in and talk about this great racing sport that we love. 888-966-4776 is the number. That's 888-966-HRRN, the way to get in and talk about, well, whatever you'd want. James, we talked about a little bit about the big card at Aqueduct last weekend. Out on the left coast, Chad Brown does what he does, wins turf racing. In fact, he was dominant with his runners in both the Hollywood Derby and the Matriarch, and the Matriarch especially sends four fillies and mares out there. They finish 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes, Program Trading won the Hollywood Derby on Saturday, and then Surge Capacity won the Matriarch on Sunday narrowly over her stablemates. Excuse me. The thing about both of those horses is that they're both three-year-olds, and they're both 4 for 5 now. And they both, to me, have enormous upside as four-year-olds, have the potential to be major players in their in the older turf division. You're going to get Search Capacity is going to be running in like mile races. You're going to be that type, like in Italian, and a lot of like good fillies that Chad Brown has had over the years. And I thought that was a really gutsy effort. I mean, she's like relished running on these inside trips, but I think she's just going to get better and better as she continues to mature and age. And Program Trading, he won his debut in mid May at Monmouth Park. Then he won Allowance at Belmont. And then when he won the Saratoga Derby at Saratoga, I mean the Saratoga Invitational or whatever, grade one at Saratoga, he got a real forwardly placed trip in that race. He was like on or close to the lead. you know, re-rallied seemingly to deny Webb Slinger that day. But I thought his Hollywood Derby performance was a big improvement. He stalked the pace, made a real powerful move to the lead, and then held off Webb Slinger. And, you know, Webb Slinger's run a bunch of times, and he's a really good horse as well. But I do think Program Trading has a huge upside. He was coming off a second his lone defeat to Integration in the Virginia Derby. Integration came back and crushed rivals in the Hill Prince. And I think both Integration and Program Trading are going to be major players in the turf divisions next year, Bobby.
And by the way, you mentioned Webb Slinger. He was ridden by Tyler Gaffleone, who was suspended and fined for whipping Webb Slinger one time too many in the running of the Hollywood Derby. I think he's serving a suspension this coming Sunday. It's a small fine, but it's one of several California jockeys who rode in California over the last week or so that have been suspended for, I want to say excessive use of the whip, but it's really not that excessive. It's just excessive with the rules that are in place right now. I have a tough question for you, James. And I think I know the answer, but I want to hear it from you. And I'm not sure that our friends in Southern California are going to love this. Is the caliber of racing overall in Southern California that much behind the caliber of racing on the East Coast right now? With the there are exceptions, obviously, especially Bob Baffert will have two-year-olds and three-year-olds that can compete with anyone anywhere and every now and then. But for the most part, we saw it in the Breeders' Cup. We saw it this last weekend with races like the Matriarch and the Hollywood Derby. The runners from the East Coast are dominant against the runners from the West Coast. The runners from the West Coast were non-factors for the most part in any of the Breeders' Cup races, and they weren't real close to winning the major races this past weekend at Del Mar.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment presently. Now, I do think it could change, and like you referenced, I mean, Bob Baffert's going to get a lot of nice two-year-olds. You know, Phil D'Amato, he's got a lot of nice turf horses, and we'll continue to develop those and get additional ones. And there's some other good barns out there with Richard Mandela and Doug O'Neill that are going to get nice horses. But the Breeders' Cup results were like indicting. I mean, an indictment for the California, because previously they've run a ton of Breeders' Cups out west. You've never seen these New York horses come out there and dominate. And they won six of the 14. They won six races on dirt and one on turf. So they won half of the Breeders' Cup races. And the Internationals ran real well. But otherwise, it was like a, you know, like I've talked about this before. You had Idiomatic coming from Keeneland, and you had Nobles coming from Colonial Downs, and that was it. It was foreign horses, New York. It was New York horses, foreign horses, and then like just two others. And the California horses ran terrible. And you look at right now going forward. I mean, Bob Baffert definitely has some nice two-year-old maiden winners. We're going to see a nice filly of his in the Starlet on Saturday, potentially an Uncle Mo filly in Grazia. And he'll have some colts in the Los Alfred Charity. But right now, they're definitely behind, one could argue.
And I'll say this. Listen, I grew up in Southern California. I love the racing out there, and we're friends with a lot of people out there. I don't think this is an indictment of the horsemen out in California. I think they're every bit as good as the ones that are out east.
I agree.
I think in general the jockey colony, I mean, I know Flavian Pratt and Frankie Dettori and people like that are riding at Santa Anita during the upcoming meet, but for the most part year round the riders I think are better out east. But the trainers are phenomenal and they've got great owners out there. It's very simple. The money is not there in Southern California. And it's such a disparity now from the purses at Santa Anita and Del Mar to what they are at places like Aqueduct Belmont and Saratoga or Oaklawn Park or Keeneland and Churchill, places like that. I mean, it's not even close. You know, if they were close and the tracks out east, you know, maybe were 10, 15% higher, 20% higher purses. Well, you say, well, it's not, you know, I want to live in California. I could do this and I can deal with that. You know, the cost of living is ridiculous in Southern California. The people who are in charge as far as making laws in California are not giant racing fans. That's the nicest way I can put that. Listen, they had a lot of problems at Santa Anita a few years ago when there was a different regime running it that caused, you know, the whole industry to be turned upside down. And the fact is, the purses are not close. I mean, we're seeing, I'm not even going to talk, you know, the Oaklawn purses are fantastically high. The Churchill purses are fantastically high. I'm not going to talk about Kentucky Downs. That's a one-off. That's, I mean, that's in orbit what they are. But even the purses in New York, you know, when they're running maiden races that are six figures at all of these places and supposedly the same level horse in Southern California is running for, what is it, about $58,000, $60,000, which doesn't sound bad, but I mean, that's 40% less. I mean, it's not even, you can't do it with, you know, you're still paying the same bills and in California, maybe higher than some other places, and you're running for significantly lower money. I will say
though that Gulfstream, I mean, their purses are a little bit low comparably. I mean, yeah, I mean, granted, you're right. I mean, the swing nowadays, but I mean, I look at it at this time of year, at least. I mean, it's viable because it's other than Oakland Park, which is like huge and way bigger. You know, they're not running for as much at Aqueduct as they do Saratoga in the summer. And, you know, Turfway Park, though, is a good example. I mean, if they're running $70,000 main special weight races, that goes to your point, Bobby. That's still more than Southern California.
Right. And what Gulfstream has and Tampa Bay Downs to an extent is the fact that they can fairly basically do what they want because they have weather on their side. You know, the folks, the big name stables up in the Northeast and even, you know, up in Canada and place like that, they're looking to run somewhere. They're looking to get somewhere either warmer in the winter or go where there's turf in the winter. Do you want to head down to Florida, which, you know, might be 1,000 miles away, and you can, you know, you can either stable at Gulfstream or at Palm Meadows or at Palm Beach Downs, or you can even, you know, places like that, or ship 3,000 miles away, run less days of the week, which means less opportunities to race, for lower money. So they've got an issue in California that, like I said, their horsemen are every bit as good as the horsemen everywhere else, and they've got good owners and everything. They just the deck is so stacked against them right now. I don't know how it can change, barring some sort of outside purse influence. And obviously, they don't have the luxury of slot machines at the tracks, or, you know, getting money from sports betting, everything that goes on. That's.
But do you think they ever will? I mean, do you ever think they'll get a share of that?
My honest opinion is, and I know this is not going to be popular, is that the folks that make these decisions would be closer to saying, let Santa Anita go away, then let's help Santa Anita. And same thing, you know, for Del Mar. They listen,
well, they're going to have sports betting, though, coming, and I
right,
think,
but
you know.
This is not, it's not something where it has to be done at a racing facility. You know, there are Indian casinos throughout California. The tracks get nothing from any of those places. They're really up against it out there, and it's unfortunate because, you know, they have such a great history of great horses and great jockeys and obviously great trainers and everything throughout the years. And there are a lot of them these days, you know, some real good ones, and even, you know, guys and gals that are not big names that are saying, listen, I need to go somewhere else where there's not only more money offered, but more days of racing available. And that's what's happening. Let's get one call in before the break. Vince in California, welcome to the Bristnet.com call-in show.
Hey, Bobby and James, it's been a minute before I called in, but I have something to say. I remember as a younger man, Schwarzenegger signed some deal with the Indians, like they were going to pay $1 billion, I don't know, a year in taxes. And ever since then, I think it's really difficult for them to change and get to sports betting. I think the senators or whatever have, you know, the casinos, they're working together. So I don't really know. James seems pretty high on it, but being that I live here, I don't know if it's going to pass, Bobby.
But the thing about it, Vince, is even if it passes, it doesn't necessarily mean that the racetracks are going to benefit from it, because everyone wants to benefit from those things. You know, they want to, you know, whether it's road work or schools or, you know, whatever, it, you know, or they've got a obviously a huge homeless problem out in Southern California. There's so many different groups that would want to benefit from this extra income. Listen, they just literally today, the Hard Rock Hotel here in Fort Lauderdale opened its sports book. It opened today. That does not benefit Gulfstream Park at all. It's on. It's an Indian casino. They get the sports book. Nobody else gets sports betting. So just because they, even if they get it, Vince, in California, it doesn't necessarily mean that it would benefit horse racing.
Now we got to talk some serious business. I have my radio was set on 219 and I could hear everything. Now I don't get radio channel 219. I don't even know if the radio gets it anymore. Did we lose channels in my package and I got to spend more money, or what happened? Break it down for me.
Well, first of all, we are on Sirius, 162 XM 207 now.
I don't get that either. I've been looking in the Steve. I haven't heard Steve's show since I don't get nothing in 162. So I don't know. I must have to call Sirius and see what happened on my car.
You can also, if you have Sirius, I think you can get it on online channel 999.
999.
What Vince is saying is that you're not getting channel 162 on Sirius anymore.
Well, I was getting all the shows on 219. That channel is gone, and now I heard Steve Vick said go to 162. I don't get that either, so I don't know what's going on. But I haven't listened to I haven't been listening since November 8th.
Can you get 207 on your, because you have XM?
No,
is what it is.
It doesn't go. It dies at 199.
Okay, so then something has happened to your. So that is unfortunately not a, well, I guess it's fortunate or unfortunate. It's not an HRRN thing. It's something has happened with the package that you are subscribed to, or they have made a mistake, but they have gotten you onto a smaller package. You need to contact SiriusXM and tell them that you need XM 207. That you've had it and what's going on, you'll have all sorts of fun stuff talking to them. Believe me, I do
all right
myself.
Okay, Bobby. Well, it's nice talking to you guys, and everybody have a happy holidays if I don't call in before then.
All right,
you
Vince,
too,
you
Vince.
Too. Have a great
Thanks
one. Thanks for the call. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, phone lines are still open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. James riding a 1 week hot streak with his best bet of the day of the weekend. He had Hoist the Gold in the Cigar Mile. We'll find out who he likes this coming weekend. Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
A lot of things feel out of control these days, so it's time you pick your battles. Skip playing referee in the morning. Skip laundry this week. Skip game limits today. Skip cooking tonight. New realities require new routines, and it's okay to skip some of the old ones. But don't skip your preteen's well visits and recommended and catch-up vaccinations. A public service announcement from Vaccinate Your Family in collaboration with Merck.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Kerry Beck. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with James Scully, your hour HRRN Nation, to call in and talk about anything you'd like. In the world of thoroughbred racing, the number to get in is 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. All right, James, you were halfway, if not more than halfway, blaming my return on your sudden cold streak a few weeks ago as far as the best bet of the weekend went. And then you got back on the beam in a big way with an 8.5-1 shot this past weekend. Who is your best bet this weekend from around the country?
All right, well, I feel a little bit bad, Bobby, because I'm not going to pick a horse at a good price. I got Coastal Charm in the Mistletoe Stakes at Oakland Park, and she is 9-2. She's nowhere. She's not the morning line favorite in there. But this is a filly to me that has run her best races at Oakland. She came off a freshening last winter. She won a pair of allowances and ran a close 4-2 in a stakes quality allowance. I mean, Shotgun Hottie won it, who won like the Molly Pitcher this year as a graded winner. And another finisher, top three finishers, a stakes winner. So I thought her efforts were really good there. She's coming back off a freshening. She's got a sharp half-mile work over the refurbished track. I liked her effort two starts back in the Iowa Distaff, and I think Coastal Charm is going to run a big race in the Mistletoe Stakes. She's listed at 9-2 on the morning line for Steve Hobby and Martin Garcia.
All right, 9-2, post position number 6, Coastal Charm in the 9th race on the Saturday card at Oaklawn Park. The Mistletoe for the fillies and mares going 1 mile, of course, a two-turn mile there at Oaklawn Park. 9-2, nice price on the morning line. See if James can get back-to-back wins with his best bet of the weekend. Back to the phones we go. Charles in Mississippi, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Bobby. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Are you driving to Hot Springs now?
Well, no. I had to go see the doctor today. I'm driving home, but I will be in play tomorrow and Saturday.
All right. So, but, Charles, now they've done something a little different, I think, with their track surface at Oaklawn. Are you somebody to just dive right in, or are you going to see how the track plays before you get going?
Bobby, you think I can wait? I can't play the waiting game, Bobby. But look, tell Vince if he's got an iPhone, he can pick y'all up on his iPhone. All you have to do is go to HRRN Live and go type in Brisnet Call-In Show, and it'll be on his phone.
Right. You can go to horse racing. You can go to horseracingradio.net, whether on any web browser, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or on his laptop or on his home computer, and do that. But I think he was thinking about how maybe he has Sirius XM in his car, and they've gotten rid of some channels that he had. So I think he's got an issue with XM, not a problem just with HRRN.
Well, the other thing is, I'm going to just tell you the truth. California racing is as dead as Kelso's nuts, Bobby. I can't make it any more plainer than that. And we've been saying, I've been saying for the last two or three years, horse racing is in New York and Kentucky, a little in Arkansas, but look at the fairgrounds. I mean, the fairgrounds is suffering the same fate. If they didn't have that grass track, it would be, oh, man. The racing is not first class. And have you noticed how many jockeys can't find any mounts at most tracks? Have you noticed? I mean, the unemployment among jockeys has got to be, it's got to be unreal.
Well, for example, who are you talking about or which tracks?
Well, I'm talking about, look at the tracks where decent jockeys can't get rides because there's no mounts. I'm talking about places like New York. I'm talking about places like, but Hot Springs, I mean, they run three. You see all the guys that's come into Hot Springs this year? I mean,
say the racing's pretty strong at Turfway. They got really big field sizes. And, I mean, that track's doing pretty good, Charles.
James, they're in Kentucky. And I didn't appreciate you jumping me because I got on Bobby last week about the Dodgers, okay?
All right, apologies, Charles. I can't believe you're a Braves fan, though. That cracked me up, I got to say. But go ahead.
I told you my granddaddy was a Boston Braves fan when he came to this country. But it's a long story. I don't want to go into it today. But, I mean, okay. I did become a Braves fan when they moved to Atlanta. My granddaddy loved Spine and Sane and Pray for Rain. I used to be really a baseball nut. I love the game. And really, to be honest with you, in some respects, it's dying, too. It's dying, too. You know, and some of the rule changes this year in baseball for good, speeding up the pitch delivery and stuff. And I've always appreciated great baseball players and great horses. And if you go back, was it 2009 when Rachel Alexander ran James?
Yes.
Look at her Kentucky Oaks. Look at her Mother Goose. But look at her Haskell when she ran head-to-head with Monies.
No, I mean, she beat Summer Bird in that race, who had won the Belmont Stakes and was the champion three-year-old, and she drilled him in the Haskell. And that was the horse she beat. He was champion three-year-old, and she drilled him. And, yeah, her Kentucky Oaks, she won by 19.5 lengths. And I think if she had run the day later in the Kentucky Derby, there would have been no catching her at the top of the stretch. I mean, mind that Bird ran a good race, but to me, Papa Clem, Musket Man, and Pioneer of the Nile were all spinning their wheels as they turned in a stretch. They had nothing left, and it really set it up for this big late last to first run. But the fact of the matter is, to me, Rachel Alexandra would have been like sitting pretty up like a couple lengths at the top of the stretch in the Derby and would have just crushed them. Because you're right. I mean, at least through the end of Saratoga, I mean, she was just spectacular, and I mean, she was by far the best three-year-old male or female that year.
If younger guys haven't watched her run, go back and watch her internal fractions. And a guy, Hal Wiggins, trained her at Oakland Park before they sold her to Stone Street, and Asmussen got her. But my goodness, you talk about one filly that could run, man. I mean, she could
Her owners did not believe in running fillies against males in, like, races like the Kentucky Derby.
And, you know, Lon Wiggins, I love Lon Wiggins. He was an old-timer, and she was a great horse that he had. But
Hal Wiggins, he said.
Or Hal Wiggins, I'm sorry. But, yeah, I mean, when Jess Jackson comes in and offers him a whole bunch of money and says, look, I want to run her in the Triple Crown, I'm going to send her right to the Preakness. Yeah, to me, they had to take the money because they weren't going to run her against males. She would have never run in the Preakness or the Haskell or the Woodward Stakes that year if they hadn't sold her.
She was a heck of a racehorse, guys. And Bobby, I hate it for California. I hate it for the players out there. I hate it for the connections out there. I hate it. But it's like you said, there are people in that state that do not want boxing. They do not want horse racing. They might ban football one day. You know, I mean, there are people that just do not want horse racing. And you can see that most of the mainstream media could care less about horse racing. And, you know,
I'm going to let you go, Charles, because our connection's a little bad. The phone's a little bad, but I appreciate your call. I will say this. I don't know if you're aware of this, Charles, or if you're aware of it, James. They do not have a beat writer, a horse racing beat writer for the LA Times anymore. They do not. You know, they'll write something. They'll get usually an AP or some story like that for a real big race. They used to put the entries and results for both thoroughbred day racing and quarter horse night racing, and back when they used to have harness racing in Southern California, in the sports section. Nope, not anymore. They do not cover racing in the LA Times. That's where they sit out there, which is very unfortunate. For those of us that love this game so much. But, Charles, really appreciate your call. Wish you the best of luck this weekend at Oaklawn Park. I know you love the opening of Oaklawn, and we'll certainly be covering that here on HRRN. In fact, covering some of opening day tomorrow on Betting with Bobby. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, phone lines are still open. Give us a call. 888-966-4776 is the number. Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Small cell lung cancer can affect anyone, not only smokers. The good news is early lung cancer screenings can detect small cell lung cancer before it spreads, when the disease is most treatable. Join Stand Up To Cancer and Jazz Pharmaceuticals to raise awareness of small cell lung cancer and accelerate the pace of research. Ask your healthcare provider about screening options that might be right for you or a loved one. Visit standuptocancer.org/lung to learn more.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Penna brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, Sirius 162, XM 207, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. This is the BrizNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment on tonight's edition of the BrizNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Still time to call in. Maybe one or two more calls. 888-966-4776 is the number. James, any specials this weekend at either Twin Spires or BrizNet?
Bobby, we have these opening of these new meets. We got Oaklawn Park, Los Alamitos. We got all the handicapping reports at BrizNet.com. We have like analysis. We've got computer selections, odds, lines, PPs, and more. You can always go to BrizNet.com/free PPs to see. We update that page with free PPs as well there. So check out BrizNet.com for all your handicapping needs. At TwinSpires.com, we have like some promotions for Oaklawn, Los Alamitos. We got a $3,000 leaderboard competition this weekend. And, you know, many, many more tracks. You got to make sure you go to the promos page, opt in. Always a $200 sign-up bonus for new members. And we got lots of video content as well, training to win videos. We do a roundtable recap horse race of the weekend before and jury giving some picks for the weekend up ahead. So TwinSpires.com.
James, I know that you follow racing not only around the country but all over the world, whether you're betting the races or just watching them, just being a fan or taking notes. Well, there's an interesting race 14 minutes from now, so coming up about 5 minutes after we're off the air. The sixth race at Woodbine marks the return of Messier. We haven't seen him since he ran the end of January in the Grade 2 San Pasquale out at Santa Anita, and he ran kind of a non-threatening fourth that day. He was, of course, the runaway winner by some 15 lengths or so in the Robert B. Lewis Stakes when he was a three-year-old. He was 6-5 in the Santa Anita Derby that year, ended up finishing second to Taba, who I was going to say stable mate, but they were both trained by Tim Yakteen at the time. And then he was actually only 7-1 in that Kentucky Derby. He hasn't won since, and in very spotty performances, some mediocre, some less than mediocre. Goes for the first time for new trainer Kevin Attard tonight at Woodbine. So an interesting return spot for Messier. He's been working at Woodbine a lot. In fact, he's been working basically on and off since the summer, so plenty of works on that synthetic main track at Woodbine. Interesting spot as he shows up in an allowance race sprinting on the synth.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a Ontario bred, so, you know, he's a colt to me that definitely showed a lot of talent, and no surprise to see him thrive at like in a race like at a mile 16th early in the three-year-old year like he did. But despite this pedigree, I mean, he's by Empire Maker out of like a Smart Strike mare with lots of stamina influences. I mean, I think he was from a really classy female family. He was like more of a miler. And, you know, the Queen's Plate was always going to be potentially an option since he was an Ontario bred. But when he didn't run well in the Derby, he needed some time off. And, I think he had some turf pedigree as well in his bloodlines. I wouldn't be surprised to see him run well. And he'll be eligible for any bonuses up there. So they sent him to the Kevin Attard barn. And, you know, that's one of the biggest barns at Woodbine. He wins a lot of races. And it'll be interesting to see if Messier can get back on track.
So, Kevin Attard, the Woodbine season ends a week from Sunday. Kevin Attard certainly has a big stable, and he doesn't just shut completely down at the end of the Woodbine season. He'll send horses down south and run some at Gulfstream, places like that, and other places as well. I wonder what the, you know, this is kind of a weird timing to return to the races unless you have, you know, kind of a plan involved, you know. So I wonder what the plan is if he wins or runs very well in this high-level allowance race at Woodbine, where he goes next. I wouldn't think they would just shut him down for 5 or 6 months.
He could be targeted in like a race this like spring, like the, I mean, they're going to run the Kentucky Cup Classic in March at Turfway, and that's got like a six-figure purse. And you know, I don't know what the synthetic stakes schedule it is Gulfstream, but you're right. I mean, if he runs well there, yeah, I would think he's either looking at like synthetic stakes at Turfway Park or at Gulfstream, or potentially, I mean, he could still aim for like a graded turf stakes race, and they could ship him like down south and run him on the turf. But I think like right now, you know, you give him a shot to run on synthetics and maybe turf and see what you can do with him.
So you don't think that there would be a chance that they would ship him down to run on the dirt in some big sprint stake? I mean, when's like the Mr. Prospector at Gulfstream? I'm just trying to think of races that I know are sprints, you know, or something like that at the fairgrounds. Would there be, you don't think there'd be any plans for him to get back on conventional dirt?
I mean, you know, potentially, but like right now, I mean, I just don't think the dirt worked out for him. I mean, he showed early talent on the dirt. He went off form. He didn't run well when he came back. So I think they're going to try something new, but you know, we'll see how he runs today. I mean, I think his plans are still a little bit up in the air with it, what they do with him.
All right. Well, they're about 9 minutes away from post time for that sixth race at Woodbine, and the horses are just leaving the paddock right now and making their way to the main track. Cold up there at Woodbine. It's right around 36 degrees right now. So
they were supposed to get snow and at least like light showers in New York City today.
I think they got it this morning. I think they got like had a snow flurry or two at Aqueduct this morning, but it warmed up to 40. By the time they race. So, and listen, you know, 40's still cold no matter what. But if it's sunny out, it feels a little bit better than when there's nothing but cloud cover. And by the way, it's just dreary as you know what. You know, that's a tough ask to go do stuff when it's cold and you don't see the sun for months.
Yeah, exactly. And it feels like this time, I mean, New York racing, once they get through that first weekend, last weekend, it's sort of a slow time. They'll pick back up after the new year. They got a big Louisiana Breeds Champions Day card at Fairgrounds on Saturday. Hopefully they don't get too much rain down there. And I'll mention they got the Pulpit Stakes on Saturday at Gulfstream. It's a two-year-old turf stake. We get to see Noted, who's cross-entered into the juvenile turf. And the juvenile, they opted for the juvenile, and he ran dead last, beating 33 lengths. And before that, he had run a nose second to Can Group, who ran a huge fourth after a trouble trip in the juvenile turf. I think he's going to be a really good three-year-old turf horse. Interestingly enough, iRider Tease Jr., regular rider on Fierceness and Noted, and he stuck with Noted. And now Fierceness has three-time Kentucky Derby winner John Velasquez as his jockey. But I I'll be watching to see how Noted runs in that Pulpit Stakes. We got the Starlet this weekend. We'll have the Futurity next weekend at Los Al. So a couple stakes at Gulfstream at Oaklawn. So we do have some racing action to look forward to.
I'm going to try to beat Noted in the Pulpit, by the way, just because I like playing against horses who ran in the Breeders' Cup when they come back again before the end of the year. I don't think they run, you know, they're cranked up for their best in that after the Breeders' Cup race. Doesn't always work out, but a lot of times it does, and you're usually trying to beat heavy favorites in those spots. Speaking of which, big day tomorrow here on the network, Betting with Bobby, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Going to have live action from Aqueduct, from Fairgrounds, from Gulfstream Park, and the opening day card out at Oaklawn Park. And then Bob Nastanovich rejoins me for another Weekend Stakes preview, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night. We're going to look at a dozen races from around North America, all Saturday races, by the way, including the Garland of Roses at Aqueduct, a couple of nice state bred stakes at Tampa, the aforementioned Pulpit, as well as the Wait a While at Gulfstream Park, two stakes on the opening weekend at Oaklawn, and several of those Champions Day stakes down at Fairgrounds. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the BrisNet.com call-in show. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, James Scully, thanks to all of the listeners and the callers. I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great night, everybody.